have your Bibles tonight. It's always a great blessing to me to hear the pages of Scripture turning. The only way that you know that a preacher is telling the truth and teaching sound doctrine is if you see it in Scripture. You know it to be so. Titus chapter 2. Now, Timothy and Titus are young men, called to the ministry, called to be preachers. And Paul is trying to help them become the kind of Christians that can make an eternal difference. Now, I want you to notice tonight, there are four groups of people in Titus 2, 1 through 8. We're going to look at that in just a minute. I want to sort of set the, if I could tonight for you, set the examples up. And now, folks, everybody in this room would fit in these four examples. Number one, in verse 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Sound, the word hygieno, it's hygiene. We think of the word clean, cleanliness. Good hygiene is cleanliness. Well, it's clean teaching. It's teaching without mixture. It's teaching that is absolute truth. It is pure. And it is teaching things that you help people aspire to. Now, the difference between, notice verse 2, the aged men, verse 3, the aged women. These are not necessarily old gray-headed people. They're spiritually aged, spiritually mature. Obviously, it would go with age, but it doesn't necessarily have to be so. If you were middle to late 40s, early 50s, and you already had soberness and gravity and temperance, and you were sound in the faith, and you loved people, and you had the love of God in your heart, and you were patient, then you were in this pattern of people that are experienced in living right. Now notice, if you would, verse number 4, that they may teach the young women, and verse number 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So then there's young women and young men, and that could be teenagers. That could be young married women. The idea is the emphasis is upon spiritual maturity and age. They go together. So understand, if you would, that these young people, young women and young men, are to set their goals to be like the aged men and women and their lives. Do you get the difference? In other words, God expects that in every local church, there are some men and women that have done right for a long time. They have a reputation for doing what's right. That's the reason those of us that are older and have a reputation for doing what's right, that Ecclesiastes, take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes 10:1. It is so important that we are like a Dr. Sisk, that we finish well. Because you'll notice, if you would, in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 10, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. In other words, some dead flies in the ointment of a sweet-smelling savor cause it to stink. It doesn't have the same smell. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So that's what happened to Moses. He lost his temper for a moment of time and struck the rock when God said to speak to the rock. Now Moses was way up here spiritually. He was close to the Lord, and he had this fabulous reputation of walking with God. And I think some of you in this room may be in the same vein of a good reputation. You have lived right for an extended period of time. Now, let's go back and notice, if you would, verse number 2 of Titus chapter 2. The aged men, be sober. This literally is the word for abstaining from alcohol. It's what it is. Sober, truthfully, abstaining from all alcohol. It's a different word than the word in verse number 4 that the women are to be sober. It's a different word. That word is to be mentally clean and pure and sensible. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 2, that the aged men be sober, grave. There is a weightiness to their life. There's a gravity to their life. And then you notice, if you would, temperate. There's a self-control to their life. They're always disciplined and self-controlled. And so fathers in this room and men in this room, it is important that your children see a certain temperance in your life to give them a pattern to say, I want to be like that. It is why you can't fly off the handle. It is why you can't just blurt out words that would be hurtful words, that you have to season every word with grace and salt. You are what the young people are supposed to be. There's a difference. If you remember in Joshua, the children of Israel did right as long as Joshua and all those grown elders were alive. Why? The pattern was exampled. It was real. And when they were dead and gone, then the younger men grew up and said, you know, the example was gone. And so they began to drift. There was no anchor. And we need some anchors tonight. Some aged men that are anchors. You purposed a long time ago to do what's right. And you've done it for an extended period of time. And you've earned a certain testimony and reputation that people expect of you. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But you and I cannot make foolish mistakes. We can't have a simple little folly here and there. That is not privileged to us. It is not something that we can do and get away with like Moses. What was the penalty for Moses losing his temper in a brief period of time? What, 3 seconds? What was the penalty? His greatest dream was taken. The Lord said, you can't go into the promised land. He takes him on top of the mountain and said, I'll show it to you. But you can't go in because you lost your temper. Now, the people didn't realize it because he was angry that they were not trusting the Lord. And that was perfect common sense to them. Well, angry, Moses is angry at us and we deserve it. But God had said, speak to the rock in total temperance, self-control. And he got angry at the people and lost his temper and struck the rock. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Bam, bam. The Lord said, Moses. You see, Moses had grown to the point and elevated his life to the point to where he and the Lord were best friends. Boy, I know God is searching for a best friend tonight. And I believe there's some men in this room that you've been doing what's right for a period of time. Why don't you aspire to be a friend of God? And it will cost you. You'll have to always be temperate. Now, temperate is self-control. It's the control of your flesh. It's the control of your eyes. It's the control of your thoughts. It's the control of your dreams. It's laying everything on the altar. It's living your life an open book before the eyes of God. It's a hatred for anything that would gently separate you from the presence of the Lord for a moment of time. God is looking for those kind of men. This world needs them. Temple Baptist Church needs them. Too many times, the older we get, we look forward to retirement. We look forward to coasting into heaven. And I want you to understand, God didn't place us here to coast into heaven. He placed us here to make an eternal difference every day of our lives. By the way you treat your wife. I've noticed a little something. When men and women have been married 45, 50, 55 years, they sort of take a little bit of a liberty because they've been married for a long time and they know the other person's not leaving, and so they don't treat them with the same tenderness and sweetness that they once did. Just being married a long time is a great reputation. But holy, aged men keep elevating their marriages to where God says, "Boy, I'm proud of you, son." Are we doing that? There's never a time the aged men look at their wives and say, "We've been married 50, 55 years. You know better than do that. Don't do that, honey." The way we talk. Do you understand? Let your speech be always with grace. Is for the aged men. Because a young man says, "You mean I can't even have one slip up?" They can't get there yet. In football, a quarterback has to throw in windows. In other words, you've got defensive players all over the field, and so when a man is running, and a receiver is running, and you know which direction he's going, you know the window he's going to be in. You throw it so that when he gets into that window, there's the ball, because it's a narrow space. And so for a quarterback to go through a season and throw only four or five interceptions means that both the wide receiver and he were on the same page all season. Russell Wilson has got 23 touchdowns and two or three interceptions, and that's never happened before. Why? Because one or the other just makes a mistake, a mental mistake, or slows down on the route just a little bit, and he's not quite there, and there's a defensive player there, and he picks it off, and the wide receiver makes the quarterback look bad. Or the quarterback makes a little bit of a throw that's off. Do you realize from here to the back of the church is a short pass for a quarterback and he may have this much room? Or a baseball pitcher, he's got this much room and this much room and he's trying to throw the ball there 100 times within a few inches. And if he makes one mistake to the middle of the plate, it's knocked out. So a pitcher, the older he gets, the more he hones his craft to where he can throw it inside and outside and up and down. So the batter never knows really where he's going to come with it. And it changes speeds. He becomes a craftsman of pitching the baseball. And so a young man can't do that. He's not experienced. He has the goal, but he's got to see someone that has been doing it for a while and says, "Boy, I'd like to be like that and a little bit better." Well, in the Christian life, there have got to be some older men that say, "I want to treat my wife like an angel of God after 50 years. You can't do it unless you're self-disciplined. And notice, if you would, verse 1. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, self-disciplined in every area. Folks, the great Christians never give in to say, "Well, I do a good job and everything else. What's the big deal about getting depressed every once in a while? What's the big deal about treating my wife with silence every once in a while? Or giving her a piece of my mind?" There's always a right way and a wrong way to do things. And this aged men, they have learned to do things in such a way that God is pleased with them, and they have a reputation for wisdom and honor. the most important person to me to have a testimony of reputation was Susan, because she knew me. The most important to you men in this room ought to be your wives. It ought to be your goal and dream to have her utmost respect. Susan's greatest gift to me was respect. Was the what she would look up to me and say, "Honey, you're the best Christian I know." And I said, "That's not true." She would embarrass me. She said, "Yes, it is." She never knew what that meant to me. That's gone now. That I miss that. But if you are here tonight, look at your wife and desire to gain her absolute respect right behind his absolute respect. We need men like that. Now notice, if you would, he says in verse 2, sound in faith. It's someone that is healthy in the faith. They know what the faith is. They know the truth of the gospel. And notice, if you would, in charity. In other words, notice the wording of it. He says, that the aged men be sober, be sound in the faith, be in charity. In other words, they're people, they're men that are older and mature, but they love people. There is a compassion. There is a sweetness about their life. They haven't let the troubles of life sour them. They've been disappointed many times, but they've learned to put their trust in the Lord, and they've learned to go on and still have that same love for people and love for God no matter what. They're an example in the love of God. And then notice, if you would, an impatience. Now, I'd really like to just take that word out. That one's not my favorite word. Patience is being able to handle things that come your way from the outside and carry them over a period of time. It's hupomeno. It's to remain under a load for an extended period of time. I want to work. I don't mind carrying a load, but I want to get it done now and get it off so I can do something else. But that's not the way you build strength in Christians. They learn to carry a load for an extended period of time. And then when God says it's all right, then he removes the load. And now they're stronger and better able to carry more, better able to do more, better able to take more, better able to be an example for the younger men to say, "Wow, I want to be like that." Notice, if you would, verse 3, the aged women likewise. Now, I want you to understand, God, and listen to this, God always expects more of men than women. Now, our world says equality is there, and I understand that. I'm okay with equal pay. I'm okay with equal this and that. But God says, I hold men more responsible than women, and I don't care what the world does. So you and I can't say, "Well, it's not fair that I have to be held to a higher standard." That's God's plan. And so you'll notice he says, the aged women likewise, to be like those aged men, to aspire to greatness with the God of heaven, to aspire to self-discipline, that we let nothing get by, that we tolerate nothing in our life, that we try to throw 100 pitches all in the same place. Those are the Cy Young Award winners. But they still lose three or four games a year. They might win 20 or 22, but they make 98 pitches out of 100 and it gets knocked out and they lose 1-0. or 2-1. So all I'm trying to say to you is they still keep pitching and they still keep aiming when their shortstop makes a mistake and a run gets in and it's an unearned one and it's not their fault, but they're still behind. They don't look around and glare at the shortstop and say, what's the problem? They do their best to cover him up. So when your mate makes a mistake, husband or wife, you do best to cover them up. You do best not to point them out, but you do best to cover them up to protect them. Love covereth a multitude of sins. It didn't point them out. We're all sinners. We're all guilty. All of us could have our sins pointed out. But God covers them. It is why one of my favorite statements is Pilate looked at Jesus and said, sayest thou nothing? He was covering for me. He was covering for you. That's our example. We don't expose our husband or expose our wife or expose our parents. We don't, in love, protect them. So you'll notice, he says, the aged women likewise. There has to be somebody to follow. Otherwise, you can't have a likewise. It doesn't work. Likewise what? If there's no Moses, you can't say, so everybody else, likewise. If you don't have a Joshua, you don't have a likewise. It starts with godly men. So fellas, tonight, we're on the hot seat, and we might as well enjoy it and say, Lord, please help me to do what's right in your sight. Step up. Forget the rest of the world. It's just between you and God. That's the one of the greatest privileges of being a preacher. There's nobody in this room that you can't live right. There's nobody in this room that you can say, Pastor, I can't be a great Christian. Everybody in this room can be a great Christian. Now, oh, there are some football players that they can't run as fast as he can. They can't jump as high as so-and-so. But spiritually, everybody in this room is on the same plane. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle you grew up in. It doesn't matter what side of the track you're on. Everybody in this room can say, I want to walk with you. And God says, come on. That's Titus. Paul is writing to a young man and says, step up, son. Teach the older men. Now, notice if you would, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, be in testimony, be in the way they live, that becomes holiness. It becomes someone that sets aside their goals to say, I want to turn my back on sin and turn my attention upon Christ. I want to turn my back on ungodliness and turn my attention on him. That's holiness. Hagiazo, purity, cleanliness. It's two parts. It's to say no to sin and yes to the Savior. Where are the women like that? They say, it doesn't matter what my husband does. He doesn't control my spiritual dreams. He does. No one can keep you from being a great spiritual lady. But you. You have to decide. You can blame your husband or your wife for all the problems, and you may be right, but you'll never walk with the Lord until you set all that aside and say, Lord, it's just you and I, and nothing's going to hold me back. Notice, if you would, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. No, watch this, not false accusers. Not pointing out someone else's flaws inaccurately. Not given to much wine, no drinker, a teacher of good things. Now, a teacher of good things is two ways. You teach with your words. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. But you teach with your life. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Now, before we get to the young men and the young women, notice the standard for a young man. Now, keep in mind, these are what he's supposed to be. He's not there yet. But these are what he's to strive to be. Aged men, we're supposed to be there. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I'm not there yet. Well, don't stop and say, I'm too old, I can't do it. The great thing about the Christian life is it doesn't matter. If you're breathing air, you can still grow. I mean, I love to play ball, any kind of ball. You know that. I love to throw a football, catch a football. The other day, I was down in the gym. I don't remember what was going on. I don't remember what it was. It's PE class or something, or maybe it was before. I don't remember when it was. But there was a couple kids out there throwing football around. Well, that's like a magnet to me. And so I went out there, and I put my hands, and they threw me the ball. I'm like, wow, I get to play too, you know? And so I got the ball, started throwing it around. They throwing it back and forth to me. And I noticed that I could throw it to the same spot most of the time. Very frustrating. And then I noticed that it took a lot more effort to get it to that same spot. You know the difference in the Christian life? There's no aged spiritual body. You can just keep adding strength. Don't give up on the spiritual life. Don't lower your dreams. Lower your standards. Notice. Now these are what Paul is writing to Timothy. Verse 11. These things command and teach. Now, did you know a young man has to teach things that he hasn't quite yet mastered, but he's already got a great testimony for wanting to do what's right, so people can follow that. A young quarterback can come in and the team will follow him if he just has a little confidence and says, guys, I want to be a great quarterback. I want to do my best. Let's do it together. They can follow that guy. But it's a lot easier to follow a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers that have done it. And he walks into the huddle and everyone says, yes, sir, Les, what do you want us to do? There's already a level of respect. Well, this is writing to Timothy, a young man. And notice what he says. These things command and teach. But watch this. Verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. No, you know, this word despise, kata phreneo. Kata is to look, is down. Phreneo is to think. So it's to think down on you. Why? Because you're young. Don't let someone think down on you because of your age. If you're a young lady or a young man, let them watch your walk and say, he may be 14 years old, but he doesn't act like it. That's possible for everybody in this room. That's 14 years old. Notice, if you would, that thou let no man despise thy youth. Don't give one person on earth a reason to think down on you. Okay, you make a mistake. You go to that person and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know how many 14-year-olds apologize for their wrongs? About this. About zero. Because that takes spiritual maturity. To learn to say, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, sis. I'm sorry, brother. Forgive me. I was wrong. You can do the wrong thing and then do the right thing and your testimony rises. Now watch this. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. You know that word example is the exact same word, tupas, the same word in Titus chapter 2, verse 8. Let young men be a pattern in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. It's the same word. So notice what he says. Be a pattern of the believers. Be a pattern of those that know Christ as Savior in word. So a young man is responsible for every one of his words. A young man is responsible for every part of his testimony, his conversation. A young man is responsible for the love, what he loves, what he cares about. And so a young man is responsible to love Jesus first. It doesn't mean you don't like to play ball, or you don't like math, or you don't like school. It doesn't mean that you can't like those things, or you can't like a job, or you can't want to be a doctor or a nurse, and there's your dream, or to be a missionary, or whatever it might be. But your notice, if you would here, your love for Christ is known. Everybody, every age can have that. But he says, Timothy, you be known. One of the ways you prevent people as a young man from looking down on you and thinking bad about you is when you love Jesus Christ and they know it. It changes everything. I wish our teenagers would fall in love with Jesus Christ. Every one of you. And forget what everybody else does. That you yourself would fall in love with Jesus Christ. You're going to see him one of these days, face to face, and give an account. Why not give an account for early in your life loving him? In spirit, young people are known for being up and down, all over the place. Boy, you get them excited, and boy, young people can do a lot. It's hard. Which one's easier to get excited, young people or old people? Young people. Because they're impressionable. And so he says, look, let your spirit be an example, a footprint for everybody else. This is a young man. So it's possible for young people to have a kind of spirit that's always sweet and pleasant and doing what's right. He said, that's what I want you to do. Now watch what the rest of it is. In spirit, in faith, let your faith be something people admire. You know, I hate to tell the story this morning because my faith was weak in the sense that I called for an hour and a half. And, I just got caught up in the moment. I've got to find somebody to get a bus. I got to get the folks back. I just didn't want them to come out of there and look at me and say, what do we do? I didn't want that vacuum. I wanted to have an answer. And so in my own self, which I do too much, I said, I'll just try to get this done. And then whenever I exhausted all of the Pittman strength, I sat down and said, Lord, I need your help. Wouldn't it have been nice if I could have told you I did that first? Well, I did it first, but it wasn't like I put more effort in it of me than trust in him. So notice, in faith, I could strengthen that part of my faith. I got caught up in the storm and said, Lord, the boat's sinking. And the Lord stepped in and said, I got this. I should have known after all these years, he's always got it. And folks, you and I should know that too. The aged men, we ought to know that he's always got it. Where's our faith? And then notice the next part. And in purity. Did you know purity is ageless? Clean mind is ageless. I don't care if 70% of the people of that high school behind us have lost their purity according to, quote, quote, research, or 60%, if it's 1%, it's too much. You are held accountable for your purity. From Sam Moore to John Manchesky, to me, purity is ageless. But it's especially important for a young man. He said, you really have to work at it. Because people don't expect it when you're young. Oh, they probably expect it more when you're old. Now, I want you to notice what he says. Look here, in verse number 15. Meditate upon these things. Now, Timothy, I want you to sit down and think about them. So tonight, could I challenge you to think about what group you're in? Old men, old women, aged men, aged women, young men, young women. Meditate upon these things and notice this. Give thyself wholly to them. You know what? Look here. Take all of the other goals in your life and make them secondary to the goal. Wholly. Give yourself completely to the idea, I want to walk with you. Every mother in this room can do that. Every unmarried girl in this room can do that. Every father in this room can do that. Every unmarried young man can do this, no matter your age. Give thyself wholly. It's reflexive, thyself. It's up to you. Your parents can't make you do it. Only you can do it. But I, as a grandfather, as a father, I can put pressure on my family by the lifestyle that I live that, wow, I want to be like that. Verse 15, that thy profiting, that you passing the tests of life may appear to all. You don't have to point it out. Everybody's going to know. Because that's what testimony is. People know you. If I walked you up on this stage, you have a testimony. People say this about you and that about you. My point for us is say, look in the mirror of the Word of God and say, I want my testimony, every part of it, I want to be balanced. I don't want there to be one flaw that's obvious. There are very few football players that don't have flaws. They may be professional athletes, but all of them got flaws. There's just a few of them that are five-tool players. They can run like the wind. They're strong. They can catch. They can throw. They can do everything. They can block. They can do everything well. Bo Jackson was a five-tool man. He was one of the most gifted athletes ever to play. A Saquon Barkley is a five-tool athlete. A Mike Trout is a five-tool athlete. That's the reason they watched him, and because of his character, they paid him $400 million because we trust him. Every game, he's going to give his best, and he's good at it. He's worth it. And so people come to watch Mike Trout. He puts people in the seats, so they said, that's worth $400,000, $400 million to us. Because we'll get money back. There are very few five-tool people athletically, but there's a lot of five-tool people in this room spiritually. Or there could be. Thyself is the only separator. Some people want it. Some people don't. Some people are willing to accept less. Could I ask you tonight? What are your spiritual dreams? Could I challenge you to come to this altar tonight and say, Lord, I want to dream big for you. I want to walk with you. You know the reason there's not a lot of Moses? This. They dream small. It's both a good thing and a bad thing to grow up in a home where there's no example. Because you look and say, I want to be like him. And it's a bad thing if you don't have an example and you say, eh, it doesn't really matter. It does matter. Be a Joshua tonight. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer. have thine own way, Lord. Ask Brother Brandon to lead us in a verse. You know, tonight, we won't lead it. I'll ask the pianist just to play a word of prayer. We'll just play tonight. And if you need to come to this altar, you do that. Could I encourage you to dream for the Lord? Nobody in this room can't. It's can or won't. Dream a little bit tonight. Let no man despise thy youth. Aged men, aged women, aspire to be like a Moses or like a Daniel, where nothing negative is said about you. And God said, you're greatly beloved. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts tonight. In your name we pray.